Take your Bibles and turn with us. We're in this series on the 10 commandments. I took that title from a book I read a number of years ago by a man by the name of Ron Mell. And we're in this series on the 10 commandments. And I want to just recap with you because of Mother's Day last Sunday. Rhonda spoke a great word. It was awesome. But I want to recap what we covered before then. We talked about the idea that we worship, commandment one, worship the right God. No other gods before him. And then you worship the right God the right way. Say right God.
Right.
Say right way.
Right.
And you see, whenever you see these commandments, Brighton, when there's a thou shalt not, it's not a rule so you squirm like a worm in ashes and just to be able to live it out. No, when you see a thou shalt not, it's simply God saying, don't hurt yourself. When you see a thou shalt, it's saying, God is saying to us, because he wants us to be successful. He wants us to be overcoming. When he says thou shalt or you should, he's saying, help yourself to some happiness. Help yourself to some blessing. And we've looked at these first two commandments. Worship the right God the right way. Today I want to speak on this commandment. Be careful, say be careful.
Be careful.
Be careful with the name. Be careful with the name. The third commandment. Maybe you heard about the ad that was run in the newspaper back when there was newspapers. But some time ago there was an ad run and it simply said, lost one dog, left ear bitten off in a dog fight, left rear hip injured. Right leg missing because of an auto accident. Right eye gone. Brown haired with a few bald spots. Goes by the name Lucky. For decades, Gerber Baby Foods have surveyed the names of new babies. It started the tradition in the 1950s. And the most popular baby names for girls in the 1950s was Mary, Elizabeth, Barbara, Dorothy, and Helen. It's interesting how a lot of names come full cycle. And it's interesting that different generations prefer different names. And Gerber Baby Products, then they did another study in the 90s, of course. And the girls' names that were popular in the 90s were Jennifer, Amanda, Ashley, Melissa, Nicole, Lauren, and Megan. The most popular girls' names in 2021 were Olivia, Emma, Charlotte, Amelia. Notice Amelia Earhart, round, full circle. Ava, Sophia, Isabella, and Mia. When you hear familiar names, right? Any familiar names, thoughts and associations come into your mind, don't they? When people say Jacqueline Kennedy. When people say about automobiles, Rolls Royce, Mercedes Benz, you picture something. When you hear the name Ronald Reagan, or one of my wife's favorite history studies in her life, Winston Churchill. When I hear the name, he was my first baseball hero. When I hear the name Al Kaline, I get a particular image in my mind as you do. And why do I do that? Why do you do that? Because names represent something that you have in your mind about these certain individuals. Who they are, what they have done, how that they have lived. And the names, if you will, are a summary to all that that individual encompasses. We've heard the phrase, haven't we? So what's in a name? The question's been asked for decades and hundreds of years. What's so important about a name? I would say a name is very important. The Bible says that a good name is better than fine riches or great rubies. Did you know that? Your reputation. And in the Bible times, when a child was born, the parents would pray over that child that was going to be born, and they would ask the Lord to give them a name, if you will, and a prophecy concerning that particular child. Maybe some of you did that. And you see, when you look at the names in the Bible, why or how this has been done. They're praying over a name or a prayer over somebody and a prophecy, if you will. What does Jesus mean? Jesus means Jehovah saves. In the Hebrew, Joshua means Jehovah saves. Israel, say Israel. What does it mean? Prince of God. Isaiah means what? Salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah, the Lord hurls a message. Names are important within the Word of God. So it's important for us to understand what was being conveyed in the name of our Lord God. The name that deserves our reverence. We live in a day and age, you've got to admit, wouldn't you? Where language has become increasingly vulgar, irreverent, both to man and to God. I would dare say the phrase, just simply, nothing is sacred, really epitomizes the culture that we live in. However, I would submit to you, even in this day and age, friend, the Lord takes his name very seriously. Because his name, say Jesus. Jesus, the Lord our God, his name represents his reputation, his character, his authority. With that said, stand with me for the reading of the word today. Just one verse this morning, and you'll see it on the screen, or you can take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Let's read it together, shall we? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Let's read it one more time. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I want you to, I'm going to get to it in a moment, but I want you to look at the two different times in the passage that the Lord is spelled with smaller capital letters. I'll speak about that in a moment. But let's ask the Lord to just do his work in our lives, shall we? Lord, I thank you for the privilege that we've been able to give our gift to you today of worship. Lord, I say as Addison did, it feels good to be in the presence of the power of God. Lord, thank you that you're walking the aisles today. Thank you that you know every need that's represented. And Lord, we honor your name. You are great and greatly to be praised. I pray in these next few moments, Lord, that now as we receive your gift to us, Lord, your word, people didn't come to hear Brad Trask today. If they did, they'll be sadly disappointed. They came into the house of God to hear a word from the throne of God. So will you help me not to follow it up, Lord? Will you help me not to get in the way? And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. Lord, I give you the praise and the adoration today, for your word is going to be proclaimed. And Lord, accomplish what concerns us through the ministry of the word in these next few moments. And all God's people would say amen. 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 You may be seated. I want to answer this morning, if we can, Brighton, three questions regarding the third commandment. Three questions about the third commandment. First question I want us to answer today, if we can, with the Spirit's help, is what does God's name represent? What does God's name represent? I would submit to you, it's at least, it's not exhaustive, but at least four or five traits. Four traits we'll cover, and then a result in the fifth. First off, I would say to you that God's name, say Jesus, it represents a personality. The word says there, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, of the Lord. We saw that. When the word Lord, as I pointed out to you, is written in all capital letters with smaller letters for the caps, you're reading a translation of the Hebrew word of Jehovah or Yahweh. This is the most personal name given to God. He's saying that, you know what, Brighton Assembly? I'm a personal God. I'm not some abstract, impersonal thought like Star Wars, the Force be with you. He's a real God in a real being. He's also it's telling us it's a covenantal name, a covenant name. It means he keeps his promises. The Lord will never let down his honor by not honoring his word and his promises to your life. It's also a redemptive name that he personally chose so that he might deliver us from the enemies that are trying to destroy our souls and destroy us by sin. It's a redemptive name. He's bought us out of the slave market. It's a precious name that was uttered, if you will, right? Only once a year by the high priest. On the Day of Atonement, that's when that name Jehovah or Yahweh was uttered. Think about this. When the scribes in the Old Testament era were translating or transmitting the word of God, and they came to the name Jehovah, they would pause in their copying. They would leave the manuscript and fast and pray for 24 hours. They would then go through a ritual cleansing, put on new garments. They would go back to the scroll, use an unused pen. It's true. They would write Yahweh, and then they would never use that pen again. And in the Word of God as a whole, 6,000 times the word Yahweh is written. Think about that. It's a personal name. Secondly, it's a name of power. The name represents power. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, the Lord, your God, say your God. Say my God. It's written there in Genesis 1:1 as well. In the beginning, God. It's the word Elohim, if you will. God who is the mighty one or the mighty creator. It's actually Elohim is written in plural. And you say, well, why is that? It's not multiple gods. It's written about the Lord, your God, because there's a multiplicity of strength and power that is in his name. Whatever you have need of today, he can carry it out. Believe that. Look at the word says, David confronts the giant Philistine, Goliath. And he said, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name, say name, the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Look what Paul writes to the church at Colossae. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Personality, power, protection. This tornado season. What do you do when you hear those sirens go off or you hear the warning on your television? You take place or take shelter and find a safe place. Can I tell you, no matter what you're going through, the safest place in the universe is in the name of Jesus. The word says, Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run unto it, and they are safe. Take refuge in the name. Pastor Brooks, he's not as old as I am, but there's others of you that are about my age. He's a music guy, so he would know it. You remember the song, do you? Some of you senior saints. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. He will comfort or you give you. Take him everywhere you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Two of you heard that before. It's all right. There's protection, Brighton, in the name of Jesus. When you're in trouble and you breathe out that name Jesus in prayer, it's like running to a strong tower for safety. When you can get into that tower, you can see things from Jesus' perspective that you couldn't have seen before. There is a wonderful perspective and power in the name of Jesus. But there's also the name represents provision. The word tells us that Jesus declared that. He said, I tell you the truth, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. That means the divine provision given in Jesus' name. It's not our name. It's not naming and claiming it. It's asking according to God's will. And it's the power and the energy of the personal God that makes it happen on behalf, on your behalf, when you ask in Christ's name, and is it according to his will. And because of those four attributes, right? When we comprehend his personality, his power, his protection, his provision, in the name of the Lord, you understand why we ought to praise, ought to offer praise unto his name. What could be more reasonable than for God's people to praise the living God? Look at what the word says, Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 34, 3. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. What does his name represent? It represents all of those attributes. Second thing I want you to see is this. How do people misuse God's name? Remember the title of the message? Be careful with the name. The word says there, many of you memorized the Ten Commandments or heard it when you were growing up from the King James Version, right? And says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does that word vain mean? It means in the NIV, misuse. When you hear the word vain, what it comes to your mind? A song from Carly Simon. You know what? Vain really means unreal, hollow, misuse, or emptiness. 52 times in the Word of God is the word vanity or vain. And I would submit to you there's a vanity of profanity, emptiness of profanity. One of the most ignorant things that a person can do is profane the name of Jesus. Or of God. Profane. Say profane. Profane. Comes from two Latin words. Comes from pro, meaning out of or before, but out of in this context. Phanatos. Phanatos means out of the temple, if you will. Or outside of what is good and decent. When people utter profanity, you bring something that was in the temple, something that was holy or good, and you make it unclean or common when you use profanity. Jay Alexander said, profanity is the crutch of a conversational cripple. You ever heard somebody that just in their conversation, they can't help but swear? They're a conversational cripple. George Washington, our first president, look what he said. The foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing is a vice so mean and low that every person of sense and character detests and despises it. You see, profanity is that it exhibits two things. It exhibits an empty head and a wicked heart. It's a feeble mind trying to express itself, and it reveals a wicked heart that is definitely present there. What did Jesus say? He said, for out of the abundance or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just what's down inside comes out in our speech patterns. The only thing a person gets when they use, the Bible says, James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. The vanity, the emptiness of profane speech. But look at also the vanity of frivolity, I call it. A frivolous speech. Profanity is certainly one way to violate God's third commandment. But did you know swearing, I would submit to you, is not the primary concern of the third commandment. Although it's what most people understand it to be about. But there's another way that you can take the Lord's name in vain. And that is, I would submit to you, with frivolity. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? By using the name of God carelessly or lightly. Many of us do that more than we use profanity. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul talks about our speech patterns. He said, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. You see, even with little flippant saints, and I'm going to use a couple to illustrate, but please, I don't believe in using this. I don't, as God helps me. But when people say, oh my God, or oh Lord, or God help us, or they talk about it. I mentioned it on Res Night. You know, God's golfing and he always gets a hole in one. That's the name of the Lord. And I get nervous, can I just tell you, when I hear people use frivolity regarding the things of God. It's repugnant to use God's name in a frivolous manner. I read it this past week. I've never watched the show, not even a minute. But somebody in my study, one of Bart Simpson's prayers over the food. He said, God, we made all this stuff, so thanks for nothing. Amen. I get scared. When Jesus was giving us, right, and hear me, he was giving us the pattern for prayer, primarily known as the Lord's Prayer. How does he begin? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The vanity of frivolity, the vanity of profanity. How about the vanity of hypocrisy? Look what Isaiah writes. He says, listen to this, O house of Jacob, you who are called by the name of Israel and come from the line of Judah. You who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. You can see that we can easily use God's name in a hypocritical way. What a bit of hypocrisy people use when they mention the Lord's name, but it's not in truth or righteousness. You say, well, how can people do this, Pastor? I would submit to you, they try and validate that the Lord told them something that has nothing to do with the things of God. I'll try and illustrate this if I can. A lady, she made an appointment a number of years ago, and she came in and said, I need to talk to you, told my admin, I need to talk to the pastor, set up an appointment. She came in and she showed up and she said, God showed me, Pastor, that you're mad at me. And Pastor, you're mad at me that, because of something I said to you. And I said, honestly, I haven't been mad. I promise you, I haven't. But she responded, no, God showed me that you're mad because I said this to you. And I just said, Miss, I got to interrupt you a second. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I haven't been mad, but I don't even remember saying that to you, so I couldn't have been mad. But the word talks about verbally using the name of the Lord. You watch how Ron and I are very careful. There's many people, oh, God told me, God told me, God told me. If you know that God told you, speak it as an oracle of God, but be very careful using that as a preface for what you're about to say. You say, well, Pastor, why would James 3:1 be such a strong verse? It says, teachers like Pastor Brooks and Tammy, Ron and myself, Pastor Dan, ministers and teachers of the word, they're going to be judged more harshly. Why would that be? I'll tell you why. Because you're invoking, as you teach, the name of the Lord. It's a huge deal, right? Even the word tells us, and I'm going off script, so forgive me for whoever's running the computer back there today. But the fact of the matter is, look this up, right? You know, Jesus even said, when you're swearing on things, don't do that. He said, people invoke and they tried to put a kind of a pecking order. If you swore by God, it was really big. But then they would do this, they would bring it down and say, I'm swearing by the temple. Read it. Jesus said that. Or they swear by Jerusalem, and you could get away with lying if it wasn't as great as swearing by God. And what did Jesus say? You know what? Just let your yes be yes and your no, no. You don't have to put any addendum on it. I don't have to look at you, Bruce, and tell and say, I swear on my mother's tomb or whatever. It's, you know what? Let's be people of integrity. And just, you know what? If I say it, you say it, I believe it, and we stand upon that. Amen? So what's the proper use of God's name? Let's apply it. You got to always, I'll try and instill that. I know Addison's been taught it by grandpa and grandma, mom and dad already, but I'm going to try and instill that. Addison, we always got to take God's word and bring it 2,000 years forward. How do we apply this and put it to use in our lives? So what's the proper use of God's name? Some of you, now look up here a second, will you, Brian? Some of you are saying, you know, Pastor, in this day and age, really? It's a pretty tough word. Come on. Can I tell you? It is a big deal. And I'll tell you why. God takes his name seriously. Here, right in the God's top 10. You with me? Say amen. Right in God's top 10 at number 3. And it's not a matter of their most important, but it's important. Right at number 3, what is he saying? Be careful, Brad, with my name. The Bible tells us, if you're taking notes, jot it down in your margin. Read it when you get home. Leviticus chapter 24. There's a couple of men fighting in the story. And one of them takes the Lord's name in vain. And they report it back to Moses. What happens? The guy gets put to death because he used the Lord's name with profanity. It was a capital offense. And somebody who's swearing, yeah, can I just challenge you? When somebody swears or takes the Lord's name in vain, don't laugh at them. It's serious business. God says, treat my name with awe. Paul Galloway. He was writing an article for the Chicago Tribune a number of years ago. And he put together a language comparison between William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar play, if you will, and Chicago playwright, it turned into a movie, by David Mamet, if you will, Glengarry Glen Ross. And he noted, listen to me, Brian, he noted that both were about human greed and ambition. Shakespeare used 0 blankety blanks. Mamet used 232 obscenities. 152 of his favorite obscenity. Movie critic Michael Medved says that the record belongs to Martin Scorsese and his film Goodfellas, which used 272 obscene words, 246 of the derivatives of the same word. There was an obscenity every 32.2 seconds in the movie. However, in society that we live in, it's almost a cool thing to use obscenity. A movie has to involve cursing words to get a sought-after R rating in the title. And it represents, the name represents his reputation, his character, his authority. So how should I apply God's name? First off, reverence God's name continually. Look what the word says. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Psalm 9:10. Those who know your name, say his name, will trust in you. I would submit to you, Brighton, treat the name of Jesus with the utmost of respect. Use it carefully. Use it lovingly. Use it as an act of worship. Reverence the name of God continually. Use it in your daily lives, but use it with care. Don't go to movies that irreverently use the name of Christ. You say, well, how do I find it? Dobson has a filtering system that will do the check on language out of movies. There's several of them out there online. If you want to know, you'll find out. But be jealous for the name of the Lord God Almighty. Don't let it be used in vain. I just ask you, men, what would you do if you got into the parking lot today, started profaning your mother's name or your wife's name? Can I tell you? And they started speaking all evil against that woman. You would say something like this, wouldn't you? Stop it or I'll stop you. If somebody started to say those things about my mother-in-law, my mother, or my wife, I can tell you, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to just say, well, I'm going to tune it out. I just won't let it bother me. It bothers me. I wouldn't sit in silence. That when we first started the church, took Addison and Aaron, our youth pastor, to our former building where we started the church 30 years ago. And I just talk about going down memory lane. And one of the first Sundays that I was speaking, I was proclaiming Jesus and this grandson. We didn't have children's ministry. We barely had a pastor at the time. And this little kid, he leans over to his grandma and said, "Why does he get to use Jesus' name without getting in trouble?" When you reference, how many of you here today, look up here, Seth, how many of you want a blessing in your life? How many of you want God's blessing? I lift both hands. I want as big of a blessing as he'll give to me. Can I tell you, if you want a blessing today, use the name right. Look what the word says, Psalm 61:5. Many of you have never heard that verse. "You have given me the blessings," say blessings, "the blessings you reserve for those who reverence your name." Reverence God's name continually. I want to sit on this next point for a little bit, if I can. Represent God's name clearly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, "Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." Can I just tell you, mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, let me challenge you. What we're asking the Lord's help with Eli and Ellie. We want to teach our kids not only to care, say care, say nice loud, care for the name, but to wear the name right. I'm going to do something that's going to make some of you jealous, okay? How many of you are Pepsi people? How many of you are Coke people? I like Coke. I needed this. My water is gone today. It's down there. And I'm going to pour this Coke with all the fizz. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for helping me. And I'm going to be refreshed by this Coca-Cola, all right? Man, is that good? Got to make sure I do not burp after drinking that. We all know the taste of Pepsi or Coke, right? Have you ever thought about on every can of Coke that is produced, billions every year? You know, right next to the Coca-Cola, it's a little R there, right? Trademark, copyright, if you will. What does it mean? It means you can't just pour some sugar water together and some syrup and slap a label on a bottle of water that you poured some syrup into and call it Coca-Cola. It's trademark. You and I represent the living God. You're caring for the name, but you're also, I'm wearing the name. Look what the word says, Acts 11:26. The disciples were first called Christians. Say Christian. What does Christian mean? They were first called Christians at Antioch. Christians means little Christ or Christ ones. My dad, Pastor Brooks, wrestles with the budget for the camps for Hola and Lost Valley. And then when I was a little guy, I loved to go to camp with my buddies. We would scheme for months. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to get the firecrackers into our suitcase without them being discovered? How are we going to do shaving cream wars? I mean, everything. And I'd be anticipating. I couldn't sleep the night before camp started. My daddy would drop me off at the campground, and I would just be ready to bust out the door. And the last thing he would say to me, "Don't forget whose son you are." Are you kidding me, Dad? I'm ready to have a riotous time. You and I, we profane the name of Christ when we don't represent him clearly. The truth is, people are watching. They're evaluating. They're listening to our speech. They're watching our actions. They're checking to see if there's something different about our lifestyle than what we declare. They're looking for duplicity. Can anyone tell, you know what, that we're Christians by our love, by our attitudes, by our actions? I doubt anybody would recognize this character on the screen. But he was very famous in aviation. Maybe David Peterson and Dan and other pilots here would. His name was CR, meaning Silas Rowlett Smith. He was one of the founding fathers of American Airlines. And just a huge impact upon the FAA. And he once, with American, he had a layover in Nashville, Tennessee. And when he did, he found two deaths in the American Airlines corridor, concourse there at the airport. Just two deaths. And there were two desks and phones on each one, and one was vacant, and the other one had a guy in a chair with his legs kicked up on his desk, and he's reading the newspaper. And the chairman of the board, the CEO, walks in and sees this guy reading the newspaper, and the phone starts ringing on the other desk. And C.R. Smith says, "You know what? Hey, your phone's ringing." The guy puts his newspaper down, and he said, "That's reservations, I'm maintenance." Smith was furious. He walked over to the desk, picked up the phone, began talking to a man who needed to get to California in an emergency. Smith, he rattles off the schedule, hangs up, and the man from maintenance looks and he says, "You know what? That I just can't believe that. That's pretty good. Do you work for American?" C.R. Smith said, "Yes, I do, and you used to." James Emery White, great pastor, former president of Gordon Conwell Seminary, he said, "It's important to learn what to take seriously and who. Nothing should be taken more seriously than God, and giving God his proper respect starts with his name, because his name represents who he is." His name represents the King of Kings. And so we send him. Alexander the Great, he once wept because there was no more lands to conquer. He was one of the most cunning and powerful conquerors. And on one occasion, a young man was brought to him because of treason or infidelity. He walked out on his troops. And he asked the young man his name, "What is your name?" And he said, "Alexander." People thought he might spare his life because he was named the same as the emperor. And Alexander the Great paused and he said, "Either change your conduct or change your name." Can I tell you, Brighton, the world sees too much duplicity. I'm just being straight with you. I asked Pastor Dan, I couldn't remember the Moody Bible pastor in Chicago, but Erwin Lutzer, a great pastor, he used to look out at his congregation. He said, "If you're going to live the way of the world, don't tell them you're Christians." I say that out of all respect. Well, he's not looking for perfection in our lives, but there ought to be a desire in our lives to live holy and set apart for the glory of God and say, "Lord, please let my life be a light in a very dark world." Represent God's name clearly. Rely upon God's name completely. As the worship team comes back, Peter, as he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name," say no other name, "under heaven given by which men may be saved," or which must be saved. You see, he has a given his name, and there's a reputation, and there's a power, and there's authority in that name. It's not a recipe to get answers to prayer. It's power and reputation in that name. You know what? When we close in prayer today, we can stand upon that name. James, Jesus' half-brother, said, "Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up." It's going to come a time, right, where all of us are going to stand before a holy God. Why don't you stand? Would you do that right now? And we're going to stand before this living God. And if he were to ask why, Brad Trask, should I let you into heaven? I can't say, it's not going to help any to say, I was a pastor at Brighton Assembly of God, as amazing as you are. Or I can't say, you know what, I was baptized. Or I gave money to the church. I tried to raise money with my wife for foster kids. That doesn't cut it. My only hope is that I stand with you before the Lord and say, because Jesus is Lord and his precious blood cleanses me from sin. And it did. And therefore I stand before you, holy God, standing in the name of what Christ did. That's the only name that we'll gain heaven by. We'll get eternal access to heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, some people actually want to push this name away. I want to embrace it. It's the only hope that we have. Can I tell you, every world leader, every person that is totally unknown, at one day is going to bow before Jesus and acknowledge his name above every other name. Jesus, you are Lord. And you and I have the privilege to do it of our free volition today. Show you one last picture and we'll close. Picture you see on the screen is the founder of the Salvation Army. His name is William Booth. And study his biography. It's amazing. He's a totally committed believer, obviously. And so is his wife, Catherine. And just before he was about to pass away, he's on his deathbed in 1912. And the last hours of his physical life, some lawyers for the ministry of the Salvation Army came to Catherine and said, Mrs. Booth, we faced a major problem. The assets of Salvation Army will be in question unless General Booth signs some legal documents that the assets of the Salvation Army pass to the ministry upon his passing. Will you take these papers to General Booth and ask him to sign them? As William Booth is breathing his last breaths on his deathbed, his wife Catherine walks in to the room. Darling, you've got to sign these legal documents so that the property for the ministry will be cared for in the right way. She puts the papers in front of him and points to the place where to sign. Signs 6 or 7 times. Within a few hours, he's in the presence of the Lord. And after the funeral, the lawyers begin to look back over these documents. And every line where William Booth should have signed his name, he wrote Jesus. Instead of signing his own name. You say, well, why would he do that? I think William Booth understood that's the only name that really means anything in the light of eternity. And that's why I know it's been an old-fashioned message to some people today. I never want to misuse the name of the Lord. I don't want to be using euphemisms, quite honestly. Jeez, golly, gosh darn. You know what? Those are just euphemisms. They're just a lighter version of a stronger name. I don't want my kids to use those. I don't want to use them. I want to reverence the name of the Lord.